Matthew chapter 17. If in fact the forecast is right, it looks like I've picked a good time to be gone. My family left, yes. Abigail, that is Abigail Smith. That's Michelle's daughter and the Smith's granddaughter. Anyways, the family traveled safely. Thank you for those of you who prayed and have made it to Madrid. And I'll leave this afternoon after the service and fly to join them somewhere along the way to Salamanca. That sounds good, doesn't it? On the road to Salamanca. Lord willing. All right, Matthew chapter 17. Let's read verses 14 to 21. Now remember where we are. We have just seen the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a question concerning Elijah coming before the coming of the Lord, and Jesus answered that. John the Baptist had already fulfilled the coming of Elijah in the event that the Jews accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their king and as their Messiah. Now, when they come down from the mount, there's a problem. And we're going to read this in three texts. We're going to read Matthew 17, then we're going to go over to Mark 9 and read it there in Luke 9. And the reason is there's an awful lot of additional information about this particular healing in the other Gospels, and we want to get that as well. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, that's Peter, James, John, and Jesus, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." All right, now let's go over to Mark chapter 9, and he'll fill in some blanks here for you. Mark chapter 9, let's read it again. This way we don't have to keep going back and forth to each of these verses as we study. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 14, and we'll see it again. All right, Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and scribes questioning with them. Straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "Why question you with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now there's something else you didn't know. This boy was lunatic, but he also had a dumb spirit, which meant what? He was failing in school.
No.
He couldn't talk. Oh, okay. "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him." That's another thing then. This thing comes on him like a seizure. "And he foameth." So that's where, or the idea in The Exorcist, if you ever saw that old movie, that she foamed. "And gnashed with his teeth." Some say this was an epileptic type of attack, but it's more than epilepsy. It's lunacy. There's a devil associated with this. "And pineth away," which would be the condition of somebody after having something like that seizure. They would sleep maybe for days. "And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they couldn't. He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.' And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming." This is a terrible thing this father had to put up with. "He asked his father, 'How long is it ago since this came unto him?' He said, 'Of a child. And oft times it casteth him into the fire, and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit. So he had another problem, couldn't hear. I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead, kind of like he was in a coma. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast him out? You notice how they put that, how come we couldn't do it? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Okay, one more time, go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we'll read it one more time. And then we'll start cross-referencing what we're studying here. Luke chapter 9, look at verse 37. It came to pass, Luke 9, 37, and it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him. So the father knew that it was spiritually related, knew there was a devil associated with it. And he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. So this thing's bouncing him, you know, on the ground or up against the wall or whatever, so he's bruised. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they couldn't. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. So now we've gotten quite a bit of light on this. We understand a whole lot about what's going on with this particular child. But there's some real curiosities, and we want to study that according to the scriptures here and see what went wrong and then, again, what was going on with the boy. All right, so let's go back to Matthew chapter 17, and we'll study it from there since that's, after all, the book that we're studying. Matthew chapter 17. All right, now the first thing to realize is that the man that took the boy to the disciples was not out of line doing that. He was looking for Jesus. Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. But it's okay that he asked the disciples to do it because the disciples in Matthew chapter 10 were given power to heal. It wasn't like they couldn't do it. Go back over here with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 10 and look at verses 7 and 8 when the disciples were commissioned into the ministry by the Lord Jesus Christ. He told them where to preach and where not to preach. And then he says in verse 7, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, he said, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick. So they had power to do that. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. That's a pretty good miracle. And watch this. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So they already had the power to cast out devils and to heal the sick. So this man was sick and he also had a devil. So it should not have been a problem for them to accomplish the task. When something went wrong, though, then they didn't know what to do. Now notice this thing. What disease did he have, or what problem did he have? What kind of a man was he? He was a what? He was a lunatic. Now a lunatic is a person who's insane. And what it comes from, the word lunatic has a root word to it. Lunar. And it was thought that the behavior was associated with phases in the moon. And what that tells you is that it would come on him at times, and at times it wouldn't. The father said, oft times it casteth them into the water, and oft times it casteth them into the fire. In other words, it wasn't something that was on him all the time, but it was on him from time to time. And so as the moon went into its phases, then this kind of thing. And you know, there's all kinds of stuff in fiction about werewolves and full moons and all that stuff. But some of that stuff has basis in fact. There are certain pulls on the body with the moon. Look in Matthew chapter 4 and notice that lunacy can be brought on either by a devil, or it can be brought on simply as a sickness or an illness or a mental disorder that's not associated with a devil. Watch this. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 24. Matthew 4, 24. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments. Watch it. And those which were possessed with devils, one category, and those which were lunatic, another category. And those that had the palsy, and healed them. Sometimes palsy was connected with devil possession. Sometimes a sickness was associated with the possession of the devil. Sometimes it wasn't. In another place, Jesus Christ healed a woman who was bowed over for 18 years like this. She walked around like this. Well, I've known people that have walked like that. Haven't you known people with that? And there's a name for that thing. Do you know what the... I don't know what the name... Well, osteoporosis. Okay, so it bends them over like that. All right, but it's not associated in some cases with the devil. In this case, he healed that woman on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees jumped him out, and he said that she was in the bondage of the devil. So her condition was brought on by Satan. Here, the condition of this young man was brought on by the devil. And it was manifested by phases of insanity, and it was evidenced by a number of things. In one place, the man said, "My son is vexed." Vexed. What does that mean? Troubled, agitated, tormented. It really troubles him. They have a disorder in school where children cuss. What do they call that? Tourette syndrome. Some of that stuff could be devils. And not just a mental or a chemical disorder in the body. But the way that comes on and they get tormented and they have those periods of agitation and stuff like that, vexed. All right, then it says it cast him into the fire. Now, in this case, you've got a devil tormenting this young man, and the devil has a place that's prepared for him. It's hell, and in hell there is fire, so it's no surprise that the devil would push this kid to jump into fire. Notice something in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. The reason we're going over here is that devils were at work even before Jesus Christ got here. In the New Testament, it talks about drinking the cup of devils, and it talks about Jeroboam's two calves as devils. Well, this is under the reign of a king named Manasseh. This is Hezekiah's son. And in 2 Chronicles 33:6, notice what Hezekiah did in his reign, among other things. 2 Chronicles 33:6, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. They were worshiping a false god named Moloch. But as part of that worship, they were making their children go through the fire. So what happened is the devil got in this kid, same thing. He's taking him toward the fire. That's just an interesting a connection. Notice also that this problem with his lunacy manifested itself by pushing him into the water. Well, it shouldn't be a surprise to you, because where do hell, the devil, or the false prophet, and all the lost people eventually wind up? They wind up in what? The lake of fire. Well, a lake is typically water. So this kid winds up in water and winds up in the fire. When Jesus Christ cast the legion out of the men that were in the tombs in Gadarenes, they went into swine, and as soon as they got into the swine, where did the swine run? Into the sea, see? So those things are telltale signs of the work of the devil in this kid's life. If the father would be able to know this is more than just a mental disorder because of what was happening to the child, the fire and the water are good indications. Also, there's some other disorders that associated with this kind of insanity that could manifest themselves today. You remember the men in the Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5? One of the things that guy did to himself was what? He cut himself. Self-mutilation. And you know, it's kind of surprising, but there's a lot of that goes on today. And it shows you the condition of our people. Now, you don't read a whole lot about demon possession before the Lord showed up, do you? And you just don't see much of it. But all of a sudden when Jesus showed up, man, there are devils working everywhere. Well, Jesus Christ is getting ready to show up again. And it looks like you got a lot of devil activity going on again. I mean, what is this with people taking studs and poking themselves in the lip, in the tongue, 95 places in each ear, in the eyebrow, in the eyelash, and in many unspeakable places? And cutting themselves. What is that stuff? It is work in the minds of people by the devil. There was a lot of it going on when Jesus was around before, and it appears there's going to be a lot of it when the Lord Jesus Christ prepares to show up. Also, this devil, when it was in him, would tear him. As I said, it's like a fit or like a seizure. Foaming, gnashing his teeth. He was dumb and he was deaf. So this boy was in bad shape, no doubt about it. And the father obviously was very desperate to see him. Now when Jesus said, okay, when the man took his son to the disciples couldn't cure him. Well, if they were commissioned in Matthew chapter 10 to be able to raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and cast out devils and heal all manner of sickness, something then should have triggered in their mind, there's a problem here. It didn't say. It didn't say. I don't know if it was just when the Spirit came on him or if he was that way ever since it came on him the first time and then manifested itself in these fits from time to time. I would say that he was probably deaf and dumb all the time and then having these fits and spells whenever it really got bad. And you know, the strange thing about it is the 12 disciples were not the only ones Jesus Christ commissioned with power to heal people. Look in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. Look at verse 9. This is what these 70 could do. Heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. They had the power to heal. Look at verse 17. They also had the power to cast out devils. The 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. There were a number of people that could do this. As a matter of fact, the disciples came up to Jesus one time and said, there are a couple of men over here casting out devils. They're not traveling with us. You want us to get them? He said, no, if they're doing it in my name, they're working with us. Don't worry about it. So Jesus said to the Pharisees when they accused him of casting out the devil by Beelzebub, he said, by whom do your children cast them out? So there were a lot of people that were casting out devils. What should that have triggered in the minds of the disciples whenever they couldn't heal this boy? Something's wrong because we certainly have the power to do this. It's been given to us. And if it's not working, something is wrong. If they were like the modern day healers, they would say, something's wrong with you, old man.
You don't believe.
But when the Lord said, if thou believest, all things are possible. And then he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. In other words, if I need more, give me more. But he would have never taken that boy to those disciples in the first place if he didn't believe that God could heal him. The problem then was not with the man. The problem was with the disciples. Look what Jesus says in verse 17 of Matthew 17. Matthew 17:17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. Now, does that mean they were a bunch of perverts in the modern use of the word, like this perverted sexual behavior that people talk about today? Perverse means things like ungovernable, obstinate in the wrong, stubborn, self-willed. In other words, I know how to do this, leave me alone, I can handle it. Perverse in the sense that they couldn't take the instruction from Jesus Christ that they needed in order to know how to do this. And faithless in that if they'd had enough faith, they could have accomplished this thing. And they really were. Listen, after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, how did his disciples greet the news that he was up? With disbelief. He met the two men on the road to Emmaus and he said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe." Thomas said, "Unless I can touch him and see those things myself, I'm not going to believe you." So they really were a very faithless generation. And being Jews on top of that, where Jews require a sign, it was very difficult for them to get these things in order. He said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? I mean, how many times do I have to go over this with you till you finally get it? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And I always marvel at the way they worded that question, because it was like they were trying to do it themselves. Why couldn't we do it? I mean, even the tenor of the question is like, you know, what's wrong here with us? And he says in verse 20, because of your unbelief. Now remember, when Jesus Christ cured this kid, just remind you about this before we deal with their unbelief, what was his condition? Right after the devil left him, what was his condition? He was like a dead man. He was as one dead. Well, you know, years ago, when we were in school, Dr. Ruttman had the chance to go to India, and while he was there, he preached. There was a marvelous type of revival going on there. They had room. I can't remember the numbers now. I'm going to get it messed up somehow, but let's say they had room for 500 pastors in this tent that they'd set up for the pastor's training, and they had to turn 950 away. I mean, it's one of those kind of things. It was phenomenal how many people came to be taught. But after he preached and many people got saved, and on one occasion, two women came up to him with the interpreter and asked him to lay hands on them and pray for them, which he did. And when he prayed for them and asked that they be filled with the Holy Spirit, they fell over dead. I mean, they were dead. Fell over just like they were, you know, like this kid. So Dr. Ruttman asked the guy, he said, "What's that all about?" He said, "Oh, it happens all the time." He said, "These people are so possessed with the devil. When they get prayed for like that and somebody asks to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the devils leave them, and when they do, they just fall over like they're comatose." He said, "Leave them there, they'll be all right." And sure enough, they left them there and they were just knocked out. And a little while later, they got up and went on about their stuff. Isn't that weird? So that's a real situation here. I mean, even in our modern day. Now, the failure of this young man to be healed was a failure on the part of the disciples because of your unbelief. Now, in the Bible, if you read all of the cases of people being healed, all of them, there is only one place in the Bible where there is a failure because of a lack of faith. And this is the spot. There's no other place where there's a failure because of a lack of faith. If you will get your concordance or just really pay attention when you're reading through the New Testament, mark every place where there's a healing, and if multitudes come, every one of them gets healed. There are never any misfires in attempts to heal people. This is the only one. It is never the lack of faith on the part of the person that comes to be healed. It is always a problem with the healer. Now today, of course, we're dealing in a completely different situation, as you know. And so God still heals, but he doesn't have healers anymore like he did back in these days. Part of the reason is that healing was a sign gift. Jews require a sign, and God was dealing with the Jews at this time. He said, "It's your fault. You didn't have enough faith because of your unbelief." And then he says this, and this is interesting. He said, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Paul never moved a mountain. Jesus never moved a mountain. The disciples never moved a mountain. Does that mean their faith never got up to the level of a mustard seed? Why would he say that, what he said right there? "Move that mountain and it'll move. Nothing shall be impossible unto you." What is that all about?
Because your faith
Well, we know that, and that's true. He says through faith all things are possible. But if that's the case, why has nobody ever moved a mountain? Why has nobody ever planted a sycamore tree in the bay? Through faith. If that is the evidence of the grain of a mustard seed. Of faith. You got any ideas on that? Isn't that weird? Huh? Well, it's not a matter of not thinking it'll happen.
God didn't have a purpose in that.
He didn't have a purpose in that at that time. At that time. But I'm going to tell you what you're dealing with here. You got to remember where you are. Where did they just come from? The Mount of Transfiguration, which was what? The second coming. And all of a sudden they come down here and he starts rebuking them about a lack of faith in the context of the second coming of Jesus Christ, in the context of devils very active in the people, and particularly in this little boy. Let me show you something that's very interesting about what you just read here and what you're seeing. Because there is going to be a mountain thrown into the sea one of these days. Look in Revelation chapter 8. And it's going to get thrown into the sea right before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just watch. Just watch. The context is the second coming. Revelation 8, look at verse 8. The second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. There's a mountain that got thrown into the sea. Right there. Look in let me see how to put this together. You know what's going on here? Look at Revelation chapter 10. Just watch what goes on. Let's walk through it and then see what we got. Revelation chapter 10. Look at this strange thing here. Revelation chapter 10, there's a little book open. And John wants to write down what's in the book. And the Lord says, nope, seal it up. Watch it, look at verse 10. He's told to eat it, so he took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. John never did that. He died in solitary confinement, exiled into the Isle of Patmos. But the Lord said, you're going to prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kindreds. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. Just hang with me for a second. I won't try to tie the knot on this until we look at a couple more things, and then we'll try to tie the knot. He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be cast in the sea, and it'll be cast into the sea. There's one cast in the sea in Revelation, and John said, is told he's going to prophesy to a bunch of these folks worldwide. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 23. Matthew 10 is the commissioning of the disciples. And the Lord said this, verse 22 for the context. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. What salvation is that? That's tribulation salvation. They have to endure to the end to be saved. Next verse. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, ye, who's he talking to? Huh? He's talking to the disciples. Ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Till the Son of Man be come. All right. One more time, look at something else. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke chapter 10 and look at verse 17. Back there with the 70 are rejoicing about the devils being cast out. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. When is that? When does that happen? It happens right before the second coming in Revelation chapter 12 when he's cast out of heaven and fights with Michael and his angels in Revelation chapter 12. What does he have to give them power to do? Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. They never did. But there will be serpents and scorpions in the tribulation in Revelation chapter 9. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know what it looks like you're looking at? What it looks like you're looking at is that in the context of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, these disciples are going to raise from the dead and preach again. And they're going to go through the cities of Israel, and they're going to have the power to walk on serpents and walk on scorpions and say to that mountain, into the sea. Looked at and make perfect sense. John, you're going to prophesy again to multitudes of kindreds and tongues and nations and people, and you guys aren't going to go over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come, and Satan is cast out as lightning, and you're walking on serpents and scorpions. All of those guys are in Revelation chapter 9. If that's the case, then it makes perfect sense. What expositors can't get over is when he told the disciples, you will not have gone over the cities till the Son of Man be come, he didn't come physically. They say he's not coming physically. He's reigning spiritually, and they've already fulfilled all these verses, and everything, including the book of Revelation, is historical. That's bunk. That's bunk. If Moses comes up and Elijah comes up to preach over there, then there's very likely that what he's talking about is the disciples doing the same thing and preaching during the tribulation and having the power over these animals and creatures that are out there to kill them. They're there too. But it never says anything about them having power. It says that the earth won't hurt them, but it never said anything about them having this same kind of thing that these guys are talking about here, about casting out devils and all that. Those guys are just, they're 12,000 marked with their father's name in their forehead from each of the tribes, and eventually they're taken up to heaven as a special class. They're all males, and they're not married. And they've never been with women. They're Jewish male virgins, so this looks a little different. Now, I didn't mean to throw you a big old curveball, but you see some verses in there that don't make sense. But if what I showed you is right, then it all ties together just fine. Finally, he says in verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out. But I thought I'd give you that before I leave, so you have 2 weeks to chew on it. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. That's been removed in your modern Bibles. That's not there. And what he showed them then is fasting increases faith, because that's what they needed. Fasting increases faith. So don't worry about seeing this kind of healing today. Jesus can do this, but that you won't find a man who has the gift to heal that can pull this off. If he says he can, he'll be flying a jet and he'll be making millions of dollars.